elements today. So if you want to quickly get some crackers and some grape juice, you can join us on that if you wish to. And we have a guest speaker today. We have Pastor Ed, so stay tuned for a wonderful word from the Lord through him on our dear Ed, Pastor Ed Bowers. And we have our dear Anthony, too. And Anthony and I will be doing the Torah readings today, so we'll be doing a little bit different if you've watched us before. And Rabbi and Miss Dawn Rabitson Dawn are in Florida at another follow-up checkup in for his cancer treatment, so keep him in prayer. And we're going to begin. Thank you, Lord. Shabbat shalom. So let's worship the Lord. So let's stand up and worship the Lord. Once we get that Shabbat Shalom music going here, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Israel or Simkipah, don't say Israel or Simkipah, or me to come. Don't say Israel or
Simkipah.
This day for Israel. This day for Israel, this day for Israel, Lord, this day for Israel, Lord.
Praise today. Give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Ma tovu. Hallelujah. Okay, blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam.
Share not to land, direct how Yeshua, you Mashiach, Yeshua, Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh,
so dear.
I love the house where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord thy Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Hallelujah.
Visham Ruvenei Israel, et ha-shabbat, la-sodet ha-shabbat, le-do-tambarin olam. Visham Ruvenei Israel, et ha-shabbat, la-sodet ha-shabbat, le-do-tambarin olam. B'nai, oh B'nai, B'nai Israel, B'nai Israel, O Heli Olam.
B'Shem Ru, B'nai Israel, Le'et HaShabbat, La'sodet HaShabbat, Le'do Tambourin Olam.
Kidkeshamim, Asa Adonai, behind the Aretz.
Vishamru, B'nai Israel,
Et HaShabbat, La'sodet HaShabbat, Le'dor Tambourin Olam.
Bio Yom Hashavi, Shabbat Vina Fash,
Shabbat Vina Fash, Shabbat Vina Fash.
Vishamru, B'nai Israel, Et HaShabbat, La'sod Let HaShabbat, Le'dor Tambourin Olam.
Hallelujah.
Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we send to Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the sake. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem.
Pray for the peace of Israel. Anthony, would pick someone to pray for the peace of Israel?
Pastor, you pray.
Turn his mic on.
Father,
Father, we come into your presence with thanksgiving that you have made promises to Israel and you've made promises to those who love and pray for her. And Father, we're not so much interested in what you're going to do for us, but we are interested that your hand of blessing and your hand of peace and your hand of protection be upon Israel, your chosen people. Father, that they may be secure. They may come to know the true peace giver, Yeshua. We thank you, Lord, that as they hear your word, they'll receive it. And Father, in the meantime, let your angels encamp around about them and deliver them out of all harm and danger. May every scheme of evil, every plot of the enemy to bring Israel down, turn back on their own heads. In Yeshua's name, Father. Amen.
Servant of the Lord, Anthony.
Now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept?
He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. For the Shema?
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echa, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Baed.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God,
the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands, and let them be frontless between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Hallelujah. So today we will not have a Torah procession. You're going to do Mika Mocha? We're going to do something different today, and we're going to do a Torah reading, and I'm going to start with that. Everyone can be seated. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I hope everyone's doing well. I see Miss Aja out there. Shabbat Shalom. And Miss Carolyn. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So today, if you want to join me opening up your Bibles or your tablet or software, and those of you watching at home, it's the Torah today is Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 15, all the way to 41, but I'll be not reading the whole thing. And I'll start off, and then I'll hand it over to Anthony a little bit, and we'll tie it up. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And the parashah is 37, and it's Shalach Lecha, and that means send on your behalf. Adonai said to Moshe, send men on your behalf to reconnoiter the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the people of Israel. From each ancestral tribe, send someone who's a leader in his tribe. Moshe dispatched them from the Paran Desert, as Adonai had ordered. All of them were leading men among the people of Israel. Here are their names. From the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zakur. From the tribe of Shimon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. From the tribe of Yehuda, Caleb, the son of Yefune. From the tribe of Yishkar, Yigal, the son of Yosef. And from the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, the son of Nun. From the tribe of Binyamin, Palti, the son of Raphu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi. From the tribe of Yosef, that is, from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. From the tribe of Dan, Amniel, the son of Gamali. And from the tribe of Asher, Satur, the son of Mikael. And from the tribe of Naphtali, Nachbi, the son of Vosi. And from the tribe of Gad, Geuel, the son of Machi. These are the names of the men Moshe sent out to reconnoiter the land. Moshe gave to Hosea, the son of Nun, the name Yehoshua. Moshe sent them to reconnoiter the land of Canaan, instructing them, go on up to Negev and into the hills and see what the land is like. Notice the people living there, whether they are strong or weak, few or many, and what kind of country they live in, whether it is good or bad, and what kind of cities they live in, open or fortified. See whether the land is fertile or unproductive, and whether there is wood in it or not. And finally, be bold enough to bring back some of the fruit of the land. When they left, it was the season for the first grapes to ripen. They went up and reconnoitered the land from the Tzitzin Desert to Rehob, near the entrance to Hamat. They went up into Negev and arrived at Hebron, Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmai. The Anakim lived there. Hebron was built 7 years before Tetzoan in Egypt. They came to the Eshkol Valley, and there they cut off a branch bearing one cluster of grapes, which they carried on a pole between two of them. They also took pomegranates and figs. That place was called Valley of Eshkol, which means cluster, because of the cluster which the people of Israel cut from there. 40 days later, they returned from reconnoitering the land and went to Moshe, Aharon, and the entire community of the people of Israel at Kadesh in Paran Desert, where they brought back word to them and to the entire community and showed them the fruit of the land. What they told them was this: we entered the land where you sent us, and indeed it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. However, the people living in the land are fierce, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the Anakim there. Amalek lives in the area of Negev. The Hiti and the Yebusi and the Amori live in the hills, and the Canaani live by the sea and alongside the Jordan. Caleb silenced the people around Moshe and said, we ought to go up and immediately take possession of it. There is no question that we can conquer it. But the men who had gone with him said, we can't attack those people because they're stronger than we are. And they spread a negative report about the land that they had reconnoitered for the people of Israel by saying, the land we pass through in order to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people we saw there were giant. We saw the Nephilim, the descendants of Anak, who was from the Nephilim. To ourselves, we looked like grasshoppers by comparison, and we looked that way to them too. At this, all the people of Israel cried out in dismay and wept all night long. Moreover, all the people of Israel began grumbling against Moshe and Aharon. The whole community told them, we wish we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died here in the desert. Why is Adonai bringing us to this land where we'll die by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will be taken as booty. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? And they said to each other, let's appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Moshe and Aharon fell on their faces before the entire assembled community of the people of Israel. Yehoshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, from the detachment that had reconnoitered the land, tore their clothes and said to the whole community of Israel, the land we pass through in order to spy it out is an outstandingly good land. If Adonai is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Just don't rebel against Adonai. And don't be afraid of the people living in the land. We'll eat them up. Their defense has been taken away from them, and Adonai is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But just as the whole community were saying they should be stoned to death, the glory of Adonai appeared in the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. Adonai said to Moshe, how much longer is this people going to treat me with contempt? How much longer will they not trust me, especially considering all the signs I have performed among them? I'm going to strike them with sickness, destroy them, and make them from you and greater nations stronger than they are. However, Moshe replied to Adonai, when the Egyptians hear about this, and they will, because it was from among them that you, by your strength, brought this people up, they will tell the people living in the land, they have heard that you, Adonai, are with this people, that you, Adonai, are seen face to face, that your cloud stands over them, that you go ahead of them in a column of a cloud by day and a column of fire by night. If you kill off this people at a single stroke, then the nations that have heard of your reputation will say that the reason of Adonai slaughtered this people in the desert is that he wasn't able to bring them into the land which he swore to give them. So now, please, let Adonai's power be as great as when you said, Adonai is slow to anger, rich is in grace, forgiving offenses and crimes, yet not exonerating the guilty, but causing the negative effects of the parents' offenses to be experienced by their children and even by the third and fourth generations. Please forgive the offense of this people according to the greatness of your grace, just as you have borne with this people from Egypt until now. Adonai answered, I have forgiven you as you have asked. But as sure as I live, and that the whole earth is filled with the glory of Adonai, none of the people who saw my glory and the signs I did in Egypt and in this desert, you tested me these 10 times, and did not listen to my voice, will the land I swore to their ancestors, none of those who treated me with contempt will see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit with him and has fully followed me, him I will bring into the land he entered, and it will belong to his descendants. And now I'm going to I'll stop there, but it does go on. You can continue to read that. I'm going to hand it over to Anthony to read the Haftorah, which is Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 24. Are you able to read? Okay.
It's chapter 2.
Chapter 2, verse 1 through 24.
Joshua the son of Nun secretly sent two spies from Shittim with the instructions, "Go inspect the land of Jericho, and they left and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab, which they spent the night. The king of Jericho was told about it. Tonight, some men from Israel came here to reconnoiter the land. The king of Jericho sent a message to Rahab, 'Bring out the men who came to you and are staying in your house, because they have come to reconnoiter all the land.' However, the woman, after talking these two men and hiding them, replied, 'Yes, the men did come to me, but I didn't know where they came from. The men left around the time when they shut the gate, when it was after dark. When they came, I don't know if they came to chase after them quickly and overtake them. Actually, she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax, and she had spread out there. The men pursued them all the way to the fords of the Jordan, and soon as the pursuing party had left, the gate was shut. The two men had not yet laid down when they returned to the roof and said to them, 'I know that Adonai has given you the land. Fear has fallen on all of us. Wherefore, the land is terrified at the thought of you. Adonai dried up the water in the sea itself ahead of you when you left Egypt, and when you did to the two kings of Emory on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, that you completely destroyed them. As soon as we heard it, our hearts failed because of your. For everyone is in a state of depression for Adonai, your God. He is heaven and earth above and on all the earth below. So please swear to me by Adonai that since I have been kind to you, you will be kind to my father's family. Give me some evidence of your faith so you will spare the lives of my father, mother, brothers, and sister, and all who are theirs, so they will not be killed.' The men replied to her, 'Our lives are certainly worthy yours, provided you don't betray our mission. So when Adonai gives us the land, we will treat you kindly and in good faith.' Then she lowered them by a rope through the window. Since her house abutted the city wall, indeed was already built into it, she told them, 'Head to the hills so that the pursuers' party won't get their hands on you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers have returned. After that, you can go on your way.' The men said to her, 'We will not be guilty of violating the oath you made us swear and provided us. When we entered the land, you tied this piece of scarlet cord on the window you left us down from, and you gathered together all your house, your family, your father, mother, brothers, and your father's entire household. If anyone goes out of the door of your house into the street, he will be responsible for his own blood, and we will be guiltless. But everyone who stays in your house, we will be responsible for the blood of anyone who lays hands on them. However, if you say a word about this business of ours, we will be free from the oath that you made us swear. According to your words, so be it,' she said. They and sent them away, and they departed. She tied the scarlet cord in the window. They left ahead of the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had returned. The pursuers had searched for them all the way, but hadn't found them. Then the two men returning, descending from the hills, they crossed over and came to Yehoshua, the son of Nun, and reported everything that happened to them. Truly, Adonai has handed us over to our land, over the land to us. They told Yehoshua, everyone in the land is terrified that we are coming.
And now I'm going to read Hebrews, which is out of the New Testament, chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. This will tie it up and sum it up. Chapter 3, Hebrews 7 through 19. Therefore, as the Ruach HaKodesh says, today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the bitter quarrel. On that day in the wilderness when you put God to the test, yes, your fathers put me to the test. They challenged me, and they saw my work for 40 years. Therefore, I was disgusted with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, as they have not understood how I do things. In my anger, I swore that they would not enter rest. Watch out, brothers, so that there will not be in any one of you an evil heart lacking trust, which could lead you to apostatize from the living God. Instead, keep exhorting each other every day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will become hardened by the deceit of sin. For we have become sharers in the Messiah, provided, however, that we hold firmly to the conviction we began with, right through until the goal is reached. Now, where it says, today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the bitter quarrel. Who were the people who were the people who, after they heard, quarreled so bitterly? All those whom Moshe brought out of Egypt, and with whom was God disgusted for 40 years? Those who sinned, yes, they fell dead in the wilderness. And to whom was it that he swore that they would not enter his rest? Those who were disobedient. So we see that they were unable to enter because lack of trust. So we must trust, right? The first story, they brought back a negative report when they went out to spy. In the second story that Anthony read, Joshua and Caleb kind of redirected that negativity. And, you know, we got to do this with Adonai. Yeah, Adonai's with it. We can do this. And then they went ahead and they conquered. They did it with Adonai. And then thirdly here, in Hebrews, it's a reminder that we need to have trust in the Lord in all things that we do and set our mind to. And if any of us have lost a job or things have changed and be recalibrated in your lives, we need to ask Adonai, seek him for guidance and direction, right, Pastor Ed? And we have to have trust. And it's hard at times when life is really super hard, we slip. We've all done it. I've done it. But we have to get back. God will send someone, I believe. Like I was talking to Rabbi last night, you know, we have someone in our life somewhere, whether sometimes it's a stranger, if we're really far out on the right or left, God will send someone to kind of remind us. And praise the Lord for that. We have Yeshua. And I love you all, and Shabbat Shalom.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Yes. Beautiful, just like he always has. And I just wanted to say thank you, Yeshua, for the protection over Anthony.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. For those of you watching, we were just praying over our dear brother Anthony, that he fell. He had a stroke, right? And we just continue to pray for dear Anthony, that everything will be restored, his health, his strength, his energy, his sight, all of it. I don't know all that has been affected, but we just speak life over him, as our dear sister Maria just did. We just speak life and healing over Anthony Cody. Yeah. Thank you, Anthony.
Hallelujah.
What is next, Miss Carol? It's Kaim He, okay.
It's Kaim He, Amazi Kiba, Meto.
Tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return, renew our days as of old.
Hallelujah.
And we have, a little bit of announcements. I think I kind of gave it earlier this morning, but I'll repeat for anyone just joining us. Rabbi and Miss Dawn had to leave sooner than they had expected to go back to Jacksonville, Florida for a follow-up and some more tests, a lot of tests. And I believe that's coming up this week. So they're there now, and he's sorry that he wanted to be here. He's apologizing that he's not here. He wanted to see you, and he wishes you all well and safe, and he sends his love. And Miss Dawn is with him. So they'll be back next Shabbat. And he also wanted me to tell you that him, Rabbi and Rabitz and Dawn are going to have a little shindig, a little get-together at their home, and we're invited, and more information on that is to come later, so be thinking of that. So there'll be nice little, maybe a cookout, you get together and see your rabbi, because I know a lot of you want to talk to him and see him and just visit with him and catch up and things like that. So that'll be exciting, and he said he'll provide the meat. So if we can bring the salads and other extra stuff, so that we'll be looking forward to hearing more about that when he returns. And also, I want to mention that we are still in our guidelines of by the state of Virginia to be 6 feet apart if you don't live with that person. wear masks, be very conscientious of other people that you may or may not know if their systems are compromised. And I ask you to please, when Pastor Ed is finished, just please be respectful of his space and you know, sure. Okay, I'm just passing it along, and this is per my rabbi. He just wants to make sure that we're all of us are, you know, we could be immunocompromised too. So we, and those of you watching, he wanted to let you all know that you still are invited. We do have precautions here. We do have masks for you to come use when you're here. We have hand sanitizer, things like that. We have people able to help you. We have seating for space. So if you want to come and visit us in person, I encourage you to do so. And I think that's all we've got. Is there anything else? Anyone else maybe think of? No? Josh, did I miss anything? No. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're going to, this is a time to take up our tithes and offerings and building fund money. We're still repairing our fellowship hall that has had several floods, and we've re-ripped out the carpeting and tore out the wall again and just redoing the whole thing again. So if the Lord is leading you to help us with that, please, if you're watching online, donate online. It is a secure, you can donate through PayPal, however you wish. Please leave, if you want to have a receipt for taxes, there is a box for you to fill out with your information. When the donation goes through, all we see is your name. We don't have any other information, so if you want to be receipted, and we, you'll be blessed, and thank you for that. If you also want to donate online as well, or excuse me, tithe online, hit the donate button on our website. And Pastor Ed, would you like to pray over our offering?
Let's pray together. Father, it is an honor and a privilege to obey you. And you've commanded us in your word to bring the tithe to the storehouse so that there can be meat, natural, but also spiritual food, Father, for those who need, those who hunger. We ask, Father, that every person who tithes today or sows a seed, Father, that your blessing will be upon it. Father, be mindful of our offerings, and let the blessing of increase be upon it, that we may have even more to give. And we thank you and we praise you that every need in the house, in the financial realm, or in labors or any other way, is completely met. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Carol, play some music for that.
Even open his mouth, he was cut off from the land of the living. Hallelujah. Your glory dwells. for me your power and praise. You are glorious, O God. Glorious, O God. Glorious in all of your ways. Oh, you are glorious, O God. Glorious, O God. Awesome in your power and praise. You are glorious, O God. Glorious, O God. Glorious in all of your ways. And you are holy. There is none like you. You are worthy of more than I could ever do. And your glory, it fills the universe. And yet you have conceived. Thanksgiving and praise. Oh, you are glorious, O God. Glorious, O God. And awesome in your power and praise. Oh, you are glorious, so glorious, O God. And glorious you shall ever be. Glorious, O God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He is glorious. Give him praise and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. All right, now we're going to go to the table of the Lord, the Shulchan Adonai. And I think Pastor Ed's going to pray over the elements, or is it Anthony? Pray over the elements. Pray over our elements. We each have a little cup. It's a little bit different. And it's got both the bread and the grape juice in one place due to safety reasons right now. And Pastor Ed's going to bless this as we lift our cup up. Hallelujah.
Shalom, no longer just be something we think about or imagine, but it
Hallelujah. A chaim to life in Yeshua. Right now we're going to hear the word from our dear Pastor Ed. Oops, a little ringy dingy here. There we go. I'll stand here. Monitor there. Okay, so we welcome Pastor Ed to give us the word from the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Bless you, Lord. Appreciate you. Hallelujah. Oh, this is fine. I'll do it from up here. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of Yeshua?
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. It's even better to know Yeshua than it is to be in his house.
Amen.
Amen. And to realize we are a covenant people because he gave us a covenant.
Yes.
He not only instituted it, he gave it to us through his very life.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about covenant today. That's not my topic, but I just think sometimes we tend not to realize it is a covenant. It's serious. It's joyful. And it's filled with blessings abundant. But yet it is serious. It's serious business. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we continue to remember Rabbi Joe. And Rabbi, I'm sure you're probably watching, and we just want to say hello to you from Southwest Virginia, from the great city of Bristol, and tell you we love you, and we speak blessings upon you in Yeshua's name, knowing that he is working mightily in your body, bringing everything in your body in alignment with all the provisions of healing from your covenant and our covenant. Amen? And Brother Anthony, I don't want to embarrass you, but, you know, it just came to my mind this morning. You are a very distinguished-looking man.
Yes.
Now, he's not so much this morning with the mask on. I don't guess any of us look our best when we put that mask on, but it's necessary. But you're a very distinguishing-looking young man, gentleman. And we just bless you in the name of the Lord. And I agree with what our sister said. We rejoice in the manifestation of that which the Lord has already begun in your body. And according to Philippians 1:6, he who has begun a good work in you will continue and bring it to full completion in you in Yeshua's name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I know you receive that, don't you, brother? Amen. You know, Satan likes to attack shepherds. Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, when all the disciples had abandoned him, quoted and said, it's written that he will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And that's Satan's tactic. Smite the shepherd and cause it to have a ripple effect which disperses the flock. But we're not of that bunch, right? We got a different mindset. We have a different mentality. We don't abandon ship when the enemy comes. We stand up and declare we know who we are. We know we've been bought with a price, and Yeshua has already defeated our enemy. COVID-19's already defeated. Racism's already defeated. Come on. Sickness and disease is already defeated. Every plot and ploy of Satan is already defeated. We just need to act like it. Hallelujah. Somebody says, sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't like to say things that aren't true, but you're speaking truth. This book is truth. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life and truth. And so you're not speaking some falsehood when you say what the word says. Whether it's manifested yet or not is not the issue. God will take care of the manifestation if we'll take care of believing and receiving. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't know I was going to start off today like that. And praise God. The Lord knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Hallelujah. You know, I just believe with all of my being, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel good. I'm not trying to just pump you up. But I believe God's got his hand on this congregation.
Yes.
Well, thank God one person believes that. We got one believer in the house. Let me say it again. I believe God has got his hand on this house. And I believe God's got plans. And when God has a plan, God never stops working on that plan. Doesn't matter who else doesn't believe it. God will keep believing in his plan till he finds a man or a woman who does believe in it and will embrace it and say, Lord, you can count on me. I'll be a part of your plan.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I tell you what, I want to be a part of his plan, don't you?
Yes. Amen.
Glory to God. Well, I'm going to share what the Lord gave me this morning and just trust that it's going to bless all of us. I believe it will if we can receive it with the right attitude.
Amen.
You see, your attitude will determine your altitude. You'll never fly any higher than you're thinking. You'll never rise above what you believe you are and what you believe you can do. And the Apostle Paul said he believed that he could do all things through Yeshua, who gave him strength. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's look in the book of Acts chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading in verse 40. But before we get into those verses, I want to just lay a little backdrop to what we're going into. Back on May 20, I believe it was the 28th through the 30th, we were celebrating Shavuot, right?
Yes.
Is that true? Amen. And then on the 30th, which was a Sabbath, the Shavuot came to its fullness. That's why the Bible says in chapter 2 of Acts in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, on that day of the Sabbath, there was this time when the full manifestation of the harvest was to be made known. And what did God do but take that which had been the natural concept of the people of Israel for generations and generations, that it was a celebration of the harvest. They were thinking wheat or whether other grains they may have sowed. It was a time of ingathering of that natural harvest. But then God showed them that there was a spiritual application or a spiritual significance. And on the day of this Pentecost, 50 days after Yeshua rose from the dead, victorious over all the efforts of Satan, amen, Satan thought he could take him out, but you can't take Jesus out.
Right.
You know, I know that Madeline O'Hara had our government take Bible reading and prayer out of our schools, but she really never succeeded because, you see, it's a heart matter, and they can't see what you got in you. They might see you if you carry your Bible to school, and they might see you if you're praying, kneeling or something, but they can't take the prayer out of your heart, and they can't take the word out of your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Especially if you're rooted and grounded in those things. So the Holy Spirit comes down, and 3,000 people come to Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And, of course, a great part of that was they heard these believers, the 120, who had gathered in the upper room, speaking in other tongues, speaking in the nationality of all those people and dialects that were represented there in Jerusalem on this day of fullness of Shavuot.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm concerned those times that we who are Pentecostal, and by the way, it is Pentecostal, it's not Pentecostal, it's not cheap, Cost Jesus, everything he had and the best heaven had to afford to bring you salvation, and with it, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I think we have narrowed it down. If we are charismatic, if we're spirit-filled, whatever verbiage you want to use. By the way, how many of you have received the infilling of the Holy Spirit to speak in other tongues? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Just about everybody here. Praise God. And most of the time when they talk about Acts chapter 2, that's the focal point, is about the tongues, about the supernatural. And there's nothing wrong with that. A man named Kenneth E. Hagin. Anybody ever heard of Brother Hagin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, I know I'm really in a spirit-filled congregation, messianic congregation. And Brother Hagin made the statement that speaking in other tongues was the gateway to the supernatural. In other words, it was your beginning point. But how many of you understand that having a beginning is not the ending? That having a beginning or a starting point, you go through a gate, but your goal is not just to get through the gate, you want to go to the house. Or you want to explore what's in the flower bed on the other side of the gate. But the gate is only an entrance into the fullness of the greater things. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so lest we forget that, I want to go back and talk about some of the results of Shavuot. And I may not be pronouncing that correctly, but I'm doing my best. I could say Pentecost. But here's my point. God generally has a much bigger plan in everything that he sends into our life and blesses our life with than what we generally understand. We tend to say, oh, it's for this. And we try to build a doctrine around it. And we try to build a kingdom around it. And we try to establish even barriers and put up walls for protection to make sure that that area gets kept sacred. And it is. But there are other sacred things that we must be willing to launch into to be able to experience what's on the other side of the gate.
Yes.
Amen. And if I had a subtitle, I guess you could call it Going Through the Gate. Going Through the Gate. So let's look at Acts chapter 40. Or I'm just sorry, Acts 2 and verse 40. And right after Peter has preached his message and to the people that were there and explained what the tongues were about, and that it was a fulfillment of that which had been spoken by the prophet Joel, saying in the last days God was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Now, a lot of people come up to me, and may probably to you, and say, you know, I really believe we're living in the last days because some event just happened. And something happened in the news they read about, or the Supreme Court made a decision, whatever. And they say, I really believe we're living in the last days. The truth of the matter is, we've been living in the last days since the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, Joel said it was a fulfillment of that which Joel the prophet spoke, saying, in the last days. So I know we're in the last days. I think it'd be more accurate to say we're in the last of the last days.
Yeah.
Amen. So anyway, Peter goes on in verse 40 and says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word about Yeshua, about salvation, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Isn't that awesome? In one day, they go from 120 hiding out in the upper room. Some were praying and some were just hiding for fear. But from 120, they go to 3,120. Just like that. How many of you would like to see that happen?
Yeah.
Anybody? Come on. How many of you would like to see that happen?
Yeah.
I got a question. This is one of those Selah moments, which means pause and think. If next Shabbat you add 3,000 here, what would you do? Yeah! Dear sister over here said, I would pass out. We'd probably all pass out. They'd be out on the sidewalk way down past where the sidewalk goes, probably out in the street, out in the parking lot. I mean, they'd be everywhere. And the question would be, what are we going to do with all these people? In Psalm, the second chapter, David made this statement. He said that if we prayed, God would give us the nations for our inheritance. God will give us the nations for our inheritance. And I was in India ministering, and I was using that scripture, and I just stopped and said, let me ask you a question. How many of you want to see the nations come flooding into the church? And just like you, everybody ready, yeah! And I asked them the same question. What would you do if they came? What if next Sunday they were all here? Where would you park them? How would you guide them to a seat? By the way, if next Sunday 3,000 showed up, forget about the 6-foot rule. It's gone. It's history.
Yes, amen.
It's history. Amen. So, they have this new bunch, this 3,000 babies. 3,000 little toddlers. 3,000 little baby Christians. Do you know what babies do? Well, they do what? They cry. They also poop in their diapers. Now, we say, oh, you shouldn't say something like that. It's live streaming. The people who are seeing us on live streaming, I'm sure every one of you are familiar, if you've ever had a child, with the fact that babies do, in fact, poop in their diapers. And they occasionally regurgitate the milk or whatever you've given them. Their little digestive system can only hold so much at one time. And we take that little one right after he has had that bottle and drank the whole bottle, and we pick him up and say, "Gooty, gooty, goo," and splat. Amen. That ain't a smart thing to do. When you got a new believer, a baby Christian, and you are feeding them, then don't shake them up. Help them just to stay steady. So we come down, let's go to verse 42, which is really where I want to start from. These are some of the indications of the outworking and inworking of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened on the day of Shavuot. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, they continued in the Word of God. They just did not have a beginning on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached. They had a continuation. They continued in the Word. It's amazing how many times we start out in the Word, we're excited about the Word, we're thrilled about the Word, but just as Jesus predicted in Matthew 13 in his parable about the sower, you remember it. Remember the seed that fell on the stony ground?
Yes.
Amen. Well, that seed that fell on the stony ground sprung up quickly, but when the sun came up, it withered quickly. There was no endurance to it. Jesus said, these are they that hear the word and receive it quickly with joy. Oh, it's exciting. And then when persecution arises for the sake of the same word that made them happy, they become sad and they fall away and they never bear any fruit. So we've got to watch out for people. We've got to watch out for the babies. Make sure they continue. They continued in the word. They continued steadfastly, which means it wasn't, I'm continuing the word, but I'm also divided off into this opinion and into that opinion. No, no, no. They were continually being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, receiving that the apostles were teaching. That word in the apostles' doctrine, the word doctrine there actually means teaching. It wasn't like, well, we've got our Christian minds on in this 21st century, wrapped around the idea of, oh, it's the Baptist doctrine, it's the Pentecostal doctrine, it's the Messianic doctrine, it's the doctrine, you know, and everybody's got their own flavor, and they don't want to lick your ice cream cone because they like their flavor better. In fact, they don't even want yours to drip on them. Hallelujah. Amen. But It was simply they were continuing steadfastly in what the apostles had been teaching them. They were applying what they had been taught. They were putting into practice what they had been taught. They were getting nourishment on the inside and then letting it flow out. Amen. Hallelujah. And then that goes on in verse 42 and says, and fellowship. That word fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia. It can be translated communion, but it's not talking about communion like the table of the Lord necessarily. That's a part of it. But it's talking about sharing with each other. Sharing. Sharing the word, yes. Sharing our testimonies, yes. Sharing our experiences, yes. Sharing our prayer requests, yes. You know, might I pause and say there are too many Christians, they've got far more prayer requests than they've got testimonies. Having a prayer request means you're going through a test. But you'll never have a testimony till you get victory over the test. And we need to be victorious over the test. Moving along. I'm not going to stay there. Don't worry. So fellowship. But it also meant more than just sharing spiritual things. They were sharing their natural things. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a congregation where nobody had any lack because everybody was willing to share what they had? In fact, in chapter 4 of Acts, it says, I believe it's in verse 32, it says, none of them thought that the things which they possessed were really theirs. They understood it wasn't really theirs. First of all, it belonged to God who gave it to them. See, we don't mind that part because God can be kind of an abstract thought. He's in heaven, but he's really in your heart if you're born again. But, you know, God's out there. We're here. Yes, God, you own it all. But we get, you know, but we'll use it the way we want to. But when you get down to this idea, oh, we're going to share. We're going to fellowship. We're going to practice koinonia. It means that if you've got a need and I've got something to meet that need, you no longer have a need because I'm going to make it available. Amen. And then I know there are people that say, but if we do that today in our day and time, somebody's going to take advantage of me. Somebody's going to take it, and they're not going to work. They're just going to let me support them. And that probably is going to happen. But we don't need to throw the bathwater out with the baby.
That's right.
Amen. We need to maybe say, okay, you know, there's some qualifications for receiving this, but I'm still going to practice it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when we come to church, and we know God has called us to be here at Lion of Judah Messianic Fellowship. That's the English translation of Erihuda. Is that it? Yeah. I still have trouble with it. This has been this congregation's name for I don't know how long, and I still can't get it right. Pray for me. Oh, Lord. Anyway. But we come to church and somebody upsets us, and God's told us to be here, but then we decide that we don't want to be taken advantage of. Let me ask you something. Doesn't the Bible talk about the fruits of the Spirit?
Yes.
In the book of Galatians? I believe it's chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And so being fruitful means somebody's going to take advantage of your fruit. Somebody's going to come along and pluck it from you. And they're probably going to not just stand there all day staring at your pretty red, green, purple, whatever fruit, shine it up, look at it, see the reflection in the skin. They're going to eat it. They're going to take it from you and devour it. Naughty, naughty, naughty. After service, I want to speak with you, brother. No, moving right along. It's supposed to be. I mean, it's not there so people can come by and take pictures of the tree and say, look at that gorgeous fruit on that tree. Oh, or I'm an artist. I'm going to paint the tree. Oh, no, don't take any of the fruit. I want to paint it just like it is. But eventually the fruit will drop off and rot. So the fact that somebody comes by and plucks off of you is really a benefit to you because it means your life is not unfruitful and it means your fruit is not going to be in vain, and it also means that now you have an opportunity to grow fruit to replace what was taken. I had absolutely no idea I was going to say this today. But anyway, but God did. Hallelujah. So moving right along. So they were sharing. They were giving. And then also in verse 42 it says, and in breaking of bread. Breaking of bread can mean and refer to the communion table of the Lord, the Lord's Supper, called the Last Supper. There's going to be another one. Jesus said he wouldn't eat or drink of the fruit of the vine again until he did it anew with us in his Father's kingdom. So there's going to be another one of these. I believe it's going to be called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyway, but it also refers to just getting together and having some bread and breaking it and sharing a time of talking and encouraging and admonishing and just enjoying one another. And you know, this is another one of those words I have trouble with. I just have trouble remembering it. What's the name when we used to meet up here in the fellowship hall for food? What was that called?
Oneg.
Okay, Oneg. Oneg. Oneg is Oneg. Okay, Oneg. This only happens once a week. Getting together to fellowship in the fellowship hall for Oneg only happens once a week on Shabbat, on the Sabbath. But I believe that this was happening repetitively in the New Testament church in its infancy anyway. They were constantly getting together from house to house. Now that means nobody's house was being the one they always were going to. So nobody, one family was always having to put out all the food, you know. They would come together in different places. And one of the things I've noticed when you do things like have meetings from house to house, it's inevitable that people who believe in fellowship really mean, I believe in fellowship as long as it's in my ship. But I'm not going to come over to your ship. I'm not going to come to your house and eat. I'm not going to come to your house and fellowship. But they didn't have that mindset. They had been taught something different from the apostles. That there was a real need for them to come together in fellowship. One was so they could know how each other were doing. Now, I know in our day and time, we can pick up the phone. We can email. I mean, chat. There's a zillion ways that we could check on one another. And they're all good. But there's something about seeing somebody eyeball to eyeball. And I know you could turn the little green button on your phone on, and you can have a video cam. And if they've got one, you can actually see them, but you can't touch them. You can't feel, you can't really connect to them like you can if they're in person. I believe one of the reasons why the church doesn't grow any more than it does is because we don't know how to get together outside of the four walls of the church and associate with one another and really get to be family. Are we the family of Yeshua? Are we? Are we the family of Yeshua? If we're the family, we ought to get together once in a while. I mean, you know, not just to come for Shabbat. This is awesome. But what about after Shabbat's over and we go home? Do we forget each other? Do we forget we're still supposed to be connected? Now, I know connected doesn't mean that we've always got to be walking down the street together, hand in hand, you know, elbow to elbow, whatever. I understand that. But at the same time, I think it means that we do need to be in constant contact. There's a world that's watching. They don't have a clue what's going on in our lives. They don't understand, but they can understand some simple principles of us being in fellowship with one another, of us caring for one another, of us being dedicated, if I should even go so far as to say, addicted to the Word of God. You know, a person that's addicted to drugs can't live without it, right? We can't live without this. Children of God, we can't live without this. And the other side of the story is you can't live without your brother or your sister because they've got something to supply according to Ephesians 4:26. They've got a supply you need. You've got a supply they need. And that's what keeps the body nourished and causes it to build itself up and edify itself in Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go on. Rabbi said I had about 15 minutes max. I don't know where I'm at. I forgot to look at the clock when we started, so somebody just, you know, when I'm finished, just pick your shoe up and throw it over my head, and I'll know time to duck out. Verse 42. breaking bread and in prayers. The Holy Spirit birthed prayer in them. One of the effects of the Holy Spirit coming was he birthed prayer. They knew how to pray. Not just when they were assembled together in the synagogue or wherever they were meeting for the service. They knew how to pray at home. Amen. Again, you're only going to meet once a week most of the time for your Shabbat service. There may be some other special occasions, but generally that's how it goes. Praying once a week isn't enough. And can I say that especially in the day we're living in, praying once a day isn't enough.
That's right.
Prayer. And in prayer. Oh, I'm sorry. It said in prayers. Yeah, now I understand there was more than one person praying, and so there were a multiplicity of prayers. I also understand that they were praying different times. So there were, again, there was a multiplicity of prayers. But there, and I'm not going to try to talk to you about different kinds of prayer, but there are different types of prayer, and we need to be praying all of them. Amen. Including praying in tongues. Allowing the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, who knows what His will is. When you can't find the will of God in Scripture, let the Holy Ghost pray the will of God. Because 1 John 5:14 and 15 tells us that when we pray according to His will, God says yes every time. All those other prayers are wasted prayers. God only hears what lines up with His will and His word. Amen. Pray. Thank you for all those amens. I'm moving right along. So prayers, they were praying. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 13, there's a verse of Scripture that just, the first time I read it, it jumped out at me. I still remember it. It's talking about when Paul and those that were with him, Luke and some of the others, that were his part of his traveling party, they were in this town, and on the Sabbath day, they wanted to find a place other than just going for the service, the Shabbat. They wanted to find a place for prayer. And it says they went to a place which was known for having prayer. Now, most churches, congregations, synagogues are known as places of prayer. But this wasn't in a synagogue. This was down by a river. May seem like a strange place to have prayer. But my point is simply this. If a stranger came into Bristol, or if a stranger came into your neighborhood and began to inquire, is there any place in this neighborhood, any place in this town where they have prayer? Oh, yeah, well, the big church down there, they have prayer on Sundays. In fact, it starts about, 10 o'clock, because that's when they open. They always open in prayer. And then they have the offering about midway through the circuit. If you don't get there by 12, forget it, the prayer's over. No more praying. I believe we need to be praying outside the church.
Yes.
With all the kind of prayers that God's given us. And so the Holy Spirit birthed prayer in them. The Holy Spirit birthed the desire to continue in the Word. They got to hold something good on the day of Pentecost with the Word. And they just couldn't do without it. Amen? They didn't want any substitutes. I better move on. Okay, let's go down to verse 43. It says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Fear. Now, the word fear here actually means, you know, to be frightened, alarmed, but it can also mean amazed. I looked it up in the Greek last night. Amazed. And in that amazement comes a reverence or a respect and an honor for that by which you are amazed. And so God wants us as His people to be a people who are amazed at what God's doing. Don't ever allow miracles, signs, and wonders to become commonplace in your life.
Right.
Amen? Don't ever let it get me. Where you have so much of it, you lose that wow factor. Wow, look at what God did. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah.
And in that reverence and respect for the God who was doing these awesome things, something interesting transpired that I can't fully explain to you, but you can just study this 43rd chapter and you, 43rd verse, excuse me, and you'll realize what I'm saying. It was because of the amazement at God, the wonder, the reverence of the God who did it, that out of that came a flow of the Holy Spirit fresh, a fresh move. You might call it revival. That was able to spark miracles and signs and wonders all over again. I think one of the reasons, excuse me, why we sometimes have a move of God and then it doesn't continue is we don't keep the wow factor. We don't keep the amazement and the reverence for God, because the Bible teaches us, the Apostle Paul in the 3rd chapter of Ephesians, he talks about we should not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom we are sealed under the day of redemption. Holy Spirit wants to do so many things, but he also wants a certain atmosphere, an atmosphere of honoring, an atmosphere of reverencing, an atmosphere of acknowledgement by being in awe. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look down at verse 47. We're just about coming to a close. In verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Praising God. I believe another outworking or inworking, outworking of the Holy Spirit is praise. Now you've got to understand there's a difference between praise and worship. Sometimes we get them confused because we'll talk about having praise and worship. And we really kind of get this homogenized idea that they're all just kind of the same. And maybe the only difference is if you're having praise, the music's faster than when you're having worship. It kind of slows down in tempo. Well, that may be a part of it. But actually, praise is us enumerating back to God what he has done and our appreciation and our acknowledgement of what an awesome God he is. Worship, on the other hand, is acknowledging who God is. And they're both equally important. Some of us, because we've got needs in our life, we're so focused on praising God because we think if we praise him, he will do something for us. A miracle will take place, financial need will be met, and that does happen. But you've got to keep your motivation straight. The motivation in praising God is God. He's the end point. He's as far as it's supposed to go. Is praising God is to say, God, look at all you've done. How awesome you are. But then worship, on the other hand, which is equally important, says, God, if you never did any of those things again, if you never answered another prayer, listen to me, I'm about finished. If you never answered another prayer, never did another miracle, never healed anyone else, never made a miracle provision again, you'd still be worthy of praise because of who you are. Amen? He's God. See, it's easy to praise God. It's easy to get excited when God has done some miracle, some outstanding supernatural thing. But we must remember he's worthy to be worshipped just because he's God. He's God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Nobody else knows everything. I know we got some in the church, they think they do, or in the congregation, but they really don't. Hang around long enough, you'll find out they don't know everything. God does. God not only knows everything, he knows everything before anything happens. Let me say that one more time. God knows everything before anything happens. In fact, when God talks, God never talks about beginnings. He talks about endings. He decrees how it's going to be, and then we have the privilege to get connected with it. And out of that praising and worshiping God came favor. You know the church needs favor. The congregation, the assembly needs the favor of God. Favor of God will surround you like a shield or cover you like a shield, David said. But not only that, favor will enable you to have things that you need to use in the kingdom that you may not have otherwise. Because when God wants to bless you financially, for example, he'll probably use somebody, saved or lost, to be the source through which the money flows. Amen. But if you don't have favor, you may miss out on it. I think a lot of our harvest we sowed seed for, and we wonder, Lord, I sowed my seed, I believe, where's my harvest? We weren't open to how God might want to send our harvest. Hallelujah. That's one of those Selah moments also. Amen. And then last of all, it says, and the Lord, the last part of verse 47, and the Lord added to the church congregation daily. Daily. Every day somebody was getting saved. I heard about a church out in California where every Sunday morning they put the number of people that got saved that week up on the board. And, of course, everybody's claps and cheers. And he said it was the pastor said it was a very rare time when there was not at least, you know, one that got saved. And if it was, it was kind of like the people were, what happened? I think we need to be asking what happened. That we're not seeing God do through us, the congregation of God, the body of Yeshua here on planet Earth, that which he did on the day of Pentecost through these 3,000 new believers who were still wearing diapers, still throwing up when they got too much, still had to be treated kind of lightly and gingerly. You know, we think about having 3,000 people, we think, man, we'd shake Bristol for God if we had 3,000 people next Sunday. But if they were all babies, you wouldn't do a whole lot of shaking. Because it's going to take some time for them to get to a place where they can make an effect. That's why Jesus said when we go into all the world in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, in verse 9, he said we ought to make disciples, learners, pupils, students of them, so that they can grow and mature and come to the place where the gifts can flow through them unhindered. Because, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit does, except for a few exceptions, and they're rare really, where he does miracles and things, he uses people. He uses you and you and you and you and anybody else that's available as a believer. But when the Holy Spirit flows through us, it's just like water flowing through a pipe. If there's sediment in the pipe, along with the pure, clean water, you may find these little flakes, these little calcium deposits, water it might be, some lead, who knows. I don't want to get off on that either. No, Lord, I'm not going to go there. But there is some residue that gets flushed out. And sometimes we as believers, God wants us to give order of prophecy to somebody. Thus saith the Lord, sister, brother. And we start saying what the Lord says. But then all of a sudden, some of the sediment comes out with the prophetic word. Amen? So we need a good flushing, don't we? We need some spiritual Drano poured down. Oh, yes. Glory to God. My point, the Lord added to the church. Must be time to quit. That's the second time the bottle dropped. The Lord added to the church daily. One of the great outworkings of the Holy Spirit through the church is, not just was, but is, people getting born again. People coming to know who Yeshua is. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, that we have examples we can look back at and study and apply to our life, just like the early believers did, just like these little baby Christians did. They had the apostles' doctrine, their teaching. We are blessed to have a Bible, have a New Testament where we can read these things, Lord, and find out how we're supposed to act, what we need to do to grow, how we need to act so we can help somebody else grow. I ask you, Father, this precious congregation of people have got a destiny, Lord, from you. You care about this flock. Sometimes, Lord, in the natural, people may wonder, well, it doesn't look like they're doing too good, but we're not going to look at the natural. Your servant, the Apostle Paul, said, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. They're changing even as we speak and believe your word. So we just thank you, Father. That's what you're doing in this congregation. You're moving. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. If anyone needs prayer this morning before I turn it back over to Donna, Diane, don't feel bad. I've got a lady. We go to a Bible study, Diane, and there's a lady there named Mildred. I keep calling her Margaret. I've almost got her convinced that there was a switching at her birth, and her real name is Margaret. But anyway, but if you need prayer, we'd be glad to pray for you this
before
morning.
Before we do that, would you mind reading Numbers 6, 24 to 26? That's the Aaronic benediction.
Okay.
And just obviously read it out of Scripture. We'll close with that. That's Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26.
Okay.
And pray over us as the congregation, okay. And then we'll receive prayer if anyone wants any, needs any. Numbers 6, 24 through 26. Hallelujah. Yeah. Everyone rise for a blessing.
Amen. You know, whether it's being recited or whether we're reading it, it's what the Lord said we should speak. Amen. So receive. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we just thank you right now, Father, that your blessing rests upon your children. And Father, that you're keeping power, you're keeping them steadfast in your word. You're keeping them on fire for you. You're keeping them connected to one another. You're keeping them with an open heart of koinonia to share. Father, all these things we taught about today, we thank you you're keeping us in that. Lord, I thank you, Father, you're keeping those that are here protected. Father, I thank you for your continued protection for Anthony. Lord, that there'll not be another attack. There'll not be another stroke. There'll not be another blood clot in Yeshua's name. I thank anybody else who that may pertain to, receive it. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your face is shining upon us. And Father, you are definitely being gracious to us. And we thank you that you who are does not change. With you there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Therefore, you will continue to lift your face up upon us and be gracious to us.
Hallelujah.
And you will continue, since you are Jehovah Shalom, to give us peace. Lord, multiply the believers in this congregation. Multiply the servants of the Lord here. And bless all those, God, that today were here early before anyone else came to help get things ready and to plan and see which way it was supposed to go and what was to happen when, so there might be order in our worship. We thank you and we praise you for them. And I thank you for many, many more to come in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. We'll also be taking a love offering for Pastor Ed, too, so prepare for that. Thank you, Lord. If anyone needs prayer, Carol, if you could put some music on. Hallelujah. Just come up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Amen. Shabbat shalom. Lord be with you and bless you.